Welcome to the Manage Impact Development Training for Operations Manager. My name is Brian Wren, and I'm a knowledge engineer with Microsoft, focusing on System Center and Cloud Technologies. This lesson is titled Modules and Workflows. Now, in the previous lesson, I went over how to create a monitoring script. To use that script in a Manage Impact, though, we need to take a step back and learn the basics of modules and workflows. For the other monitoring and discoveries that we've built so far, we're able to use existing modules and monitor types. We do have modules to run a monitoring script, but unlike the other modules that we've used so far, we have to include those modules in our own custom module and monitor types in order to actually use them. So I'm going to stick to mostly concepts in this lesson. I'll absolutely show some examples in existing Manage Impacts, but we aren't going to actually try to build anything yet or relate it specifically to the sample Manage Impact that we've been working on. In the next lesson, though, we'll take those concepts, go step by step through building a rule and monitor using the script that we wrote in the last lesson. We'll also take a step back and look at some of the monitoring that we've already built and see how we actually have been using modules and monitor types. And this will just give you some of the story underneath the covers. So I've used this term workflow quite a bit in our lesson so far, but let's actually define what one is. Workflows are the processes in a Manage Impact that we run on the agent. They include monitors, rules, tasks, and discoveries. A workflow is comprised of multiple modules, and each type of workflow has specific restrictions for which type of modules it can use and how they're arranged. Now, a module performs some specific function. It may collect some piece of data, such as an event or performance counter, or it might do something like run a script. Or it might work with data from another module and make some decision on it. Now, some modules will output data, while other modules will accept incoming data from another module in the workflow. The agent runs each module of the workflow in the order that we specify and then passes data along between the modules as appropriate. Now, we have access to a whole variety of different modules in our existing library, and we can also create our own to perform functions that are specific to our own Manage Impacts. So once you understand what modules are available to you and how to arrange those to create custom workflows, then you can pretty much implement any monitoring scenario that you need. Now, before we actually get into the different module and workflow types, let's have a look at a simple workflow and see how each of the modules perform their specific function and how we pass data between them. Now, what you're looking at, and we'll talk about this a bit more, is a rule. A rule is defined by a data source module, a condition detection module, and a write action module. Let's translate that into a simple example. Now, consider a rule that runs a script to collect some performance data. The rule might look like this. A data source module to run the script, a condition detection module to convert the output to performance data, and a write action module to store that performance data to the SCUM database. Now, for each of those modules to perform their function, they're going to need some information. The time script module understands how to run a script, but it needs some information from us. It obviously needs to know what script we want to run. It needs values for any arguments that the script requires, and it needs to know how often we want to run it. So we define those pieces of information as parameters on the module. Now, the data source module starts the workflow, so we provide the values for those parameters when we created the rule. Now, when the time module runs, it's going to output a property bag. We learned about property bags in the last lesson. The last module in the rule is published performance data. That module requires no parameters. As long as we give it performance data, it'll write the data to the SCUM database. But our time script module outputs a property bag. The data type of the output from the one module doesn't match the required input data type in the last module. We'd actually get an error when we compile our Manage Impact if we tried to run those modules one after the other. So we use a condition detection module in the middle, which is our performance mapper. That module takes in any data type and converts it to performance data. In order to do that, though, it needs to know what the object, counter, instance, and value are going to be for the piece of performance data that it's going to create. And so those are the parameters that are defined on the module. So when we define the rule, we need to define the mapping between specific pieces of data in our property bag to those parameter values that will get translated into performance data. And we'll see details on that later on. This rule is actually very similar to the one that we're going to create in the next lesson. And so those are specifics that we'll be able to see. So let's start by talking about the different module types. The four module types are data source, probe action, condition detection, and write action. These are the only four. Every single module is going to be one of these four types. Now, data source modules start a workflow without any input from another module or from a user. Its purpose is to gather some information without changing the system in any way. It might collect an event, a piece of performance data, or run a script. Now, obviously, a script could make changes on the agent, so the system doesn't have any way of enforcing that restriction. It's up to you as the author of the data source module to ensure that it's only performing a passive function. Now, data source modules will always have one and only one output. As I mentioned in the previous slide, that output will have some particular data type, and different data source modules will output data of different types. Probe actions are similar to data source modules in that they collect some information without changing system state. The difference is that they need some input. This could be another module, such as a data source module that passes the probe to some data to work with, or it can just provide what we call a trigger. A trigger doesn't provide any data to work with, it just triggers the next module. The most common example of this is a data source module called Scheduler. We'll absolutely see this module and we'll work with it. And what that module does is accept some schedule and then sends out a trigger on a periodic basis to kick off the workflow. So the time script module in that little example I showed is actually made up of a scheduler and a probe. The scheduler performs the timing and periodically sends out a trigger that starts the probe. And the probe module is actually the one that runs the script. So the probe action takes one input, which could just be a trigger or it could be data, and it creates one output. Condition detections are meant to sit in the middle of a workflow and accept data in and then send data out. They perform one of three distinct functions. First is inspect some data to see if it matches some pattern. We've used condition detections and monitors that we've already created when we set criteria. So data source module might collect an event or performance data. A condition detection module will look at the event to see if it matches the event source and event number we're interested in, or we'll look at the performance data to determine if it exceeded a threshold. And if you remember back to when we created that monitoring, we were using something called the expression, and that's a system expression module that we're going to see quite a bit in upcoming lessons. Now, if the criteria from that condition detection is true, then the data will pass right through with no change. If the condition is false, then no data comes through the workflow, and it ends right there. The next function of condition detection is to correlate multiple pieces of data. In a previous lesson, we created a performance monitor where we required the threshold to be exceeded multiple times before we considered a critical state. Under the covers, that had a condition detection that accepted two data items, the performance data and the number of times that the threshold had been exceeded. Now, the third function of condition detections is to map data to an alternate data type. That's exactly what we showed in that previous rule example where we mapped a property bag to performance data. So again, condition detections are going to accept one or more inputs and send one and only one output. Write action modules actually do something, unlike data source modules and probes, which are meant to be completely passive. Write actions may write to the SCUM database or data warehouse, or they might run a script that attempts to correct some problem on the agent. Now, write action modules actually do something, as opposed to data source modules and probes, which are meant to be completely passive. Write actions may write to the SCUM database or data warehouse, or they might run a script that tries to correct some problem on the agent. Now, write actions can have an output, but it's more common that they just sit at the end of a workflow with no output. Now, in addition to every module being one of those four types, every module is also going to be either native, managed, or composite. And this has to do with how the module is actually implemented. We do provide documentation on writing your own managed code modules, but they aren't too common and we're getting pretty advanced when we get into that. So we're not going to talk about those now. Native modules are actually DLLs sitting on the agent. These are the modules that are defined in the libraries that install with SCUM, and they perform the most basic functions, such as reading event from the event log, reading a performance counter, reading from the registry, that sort of thing. Now, you can't create your own native modules, but you can use the ones from the library. And as we'll see in a moment, every single workflow is going to leverage one or more native modules, whether you're working with them directly or not. What you will be creating yourself are composite modules. A composite module is simply a module made up of other modules. The vast majority of modules in management packs are composite. When you use a module, you don't care whether it's composite or native. All you know is it requires certain parameters, it performs some function, and it outputs some data of a particular type. But it really doesn't make any difference to you how that module has been implemented and what's inside of it. Now, composite modules contain any number of other modules. There are some restrictions on them. For example, a data source module has to start with another data source module, and it can't contain a write action. We have all those restrictions documented for the different module types, so I'm not going to sit here and go through them all. Composite modules are defined entirely in XML. You can open up a management pack and actually look at it, and we'll actually do that in a little while. Now, if you consider that a composite module contains other modules, and if those modules are also composite, then we can look at their definition too. And if you continue that exercise all the way down, you will always eventually end up at a native module. That's exactly what we'll do in a few minutes. But before we get into that, let's talk about workflows. Now, discoveries are simple workflows in that they have only one module. It must be a discovery module, and it must output discovery data. Now, what if you had a condition where maybe you have a discovery script, but then need a condition detection to filter the output? That's two modules, and a discovery can't include a condition detection. In that case, you would create a custom data source module that contained the modules you need. The discovery would then use that custom module. Rules have one or more data sources. The vast majority will just have one. They can have zero or one condition detection. Now, again, what if you needed two condition detections? You create a custom data source module that wrapped up at least one of those other condition detections, and that would become the data source module for the rule. A rule is also going to need one or more write actions. Without a write action, the rule is basically useless because it wouldn't do anything. The data source might go and collect some performance data, for instance. If there was no write action, we wouldn't have anything to do with that performance data. So by definition, a rule is going to have one or more write actions. Tasks have just one module, and it has to be a probe or a write action. Tasks fundamentally do one of two things. They may just collect some information from the agent, in which case you would use a probe module that's just passive and outputs data, or the task would actually do something, perform some action on the agent. In that case, you would use a write action module that may or may not have some output. And of course, those modules could be composite, containing all sorts of complexity within them. Now, to drive this home to some extent, because I've been talking very, very abstract up until now, and I think this will actually start to drive this home, let's have a look at a simple example here. And this is an actual example from a real management pack. I'll go through the concepts on the slide, and then we'll actually open up this MP and have a look at this rule in the modules. Now, this is a rule in the SQL 2008 management pack. I realize that MP is a couple years old, but it's an example I've used for a while, and it's still completely valid. This appears to be a simple rule that collects free space for databases. It has three modules. One data source module that retrieves the free space. This appears to be a simple rule that collects free space for databases. It has three modules. One data source module that retrieves the free space and presents it as performance data. And then we have two write actions. These are native modules that accept performance data and write it to the SCUMB database and to the data warehouse. But the optimized perf provider module is composite, so we can look at its contents. And if you break open that MP and have a look at the module, you'll see that it contains two other modules. First is a DB size raw perf provider, which just picks up the performance data according to whatever schedule it's given. Optimized collection filter is a condition detection module that determines whether the current value deviates enough from the previous value to be collected. And of course, we talked in a previous lesson about doing optimized data collection. And that's a native module that's available to you to use when you need to construct a module that's going to do optimized collection. Now, since DB size raw perf provider's composite, we can open it up. And we find that it has three modules. First is a data source that runs a script, and this is how we actually get the database size in the first place, that outputs a property bag. So we need a data generic mapper to convert it to performance data. We then have an expression filter to filter on the individual database. Now this is specifically to support something that we call cookdown. I'm not going to explain that here, but we'll have an entire lesson on cookdown and on that concept. Now TimeScript property bag provider is in the Windows library, and you can go and look that up, and it's also composite. And if you go have a look at that MP, you'll see that it has something called simple scheduler that just sends a trigger on a schedule that you set, and that's followed by a probe that actually runs the script. So this shows what I mentioned before, that if you follow composite modules all the way down, you're going to end up at native modules. And when this tool runs, this is actually the set of modules that the agent is executing. And as ImaginePack author though, you don't have to see all this complexity. And so this really should hopefully drive home the concept of how we wrap up different functionality into modules. And then once we use those modules within the workflow, we don't have to deal with all the complexity that's inherent within them. But to take this one step further as far as the example, let's actually have a look at this rule in these modules in the ImaginePack itself. Now monitor types require a workflow for each of their health states. So a monitor type that supports two health states will have two workflows. Three monitor type, three state monitor type has three workflows. Now each workflow can have any number of modules. They must start with a data source, and the vast majority of monitor types will use one data source for all health states. It's not required, but it's usually the case. And they cannot include a write action. The reason for that is a monitor's only function is to set health state. One and only one of the workflows on a monitor type should resolve to true at any particular time, while the others should resolve to false. The one health state that resolves true is the health state that the monitor will set. It's up to you as an author to ensure that the workflows in a monitor type are mutually exclusive. If two states resolve to true at the same time, you're going to get some unpredictable behavior because we don't know which state to set. If none resolve to true, then it's going to stick on whatever the current health state is, whether that's correct or not. Monitor types can define two types of detection. They have to have regular detection, and that's a normal operation we're all familiar with. On-demand detection is optional. That's the workflows that are going to run when the user selects the option to recalculate the monitor health. It wouldn't make sense to start that with a data source. We'd have a situation where, for example, the user asked to recalculate the monitor, and then we start a data source with a timer that ran every 15 minutes. Instead, our on-demand detection would need to start with a probe, because that's something that can be initiated immediately with just a trigger. Now I realize that's a whole lot of conceptual stuff to throw out. I'm not going to jump into an MP now to show a monitor type, since we're going to build one in the next lesson, and that's really the next step in order to really understand everything. And then we'll spend a few lessons after this one actually building monitor types, custom modules, and rules, so you'll get a chance to get familiar with all of the specifics of everything that we talked about in this lesson. Okay, so here I actually have this SQL Server 2008 monitoring management pack open. This is just the XML open up in Visual Studio. So if I go here to monitoring and then rules, and I already have that one broken out. I'm gonna wrap it up so you can see it a bit better, and I'm not gonna worry too much right now about talking about the syntax of the XML here for the rules and the module types. We'll absolutely be getting into that in the next lesson. But you can see here are the data sources for this rule, and there's that data source that I showed before, DB size optimized perf provider. And then down here I have the write actions, and there's collect performance data and publish performance data. So those are the two write actions that I talked about. Of course we can see the aliases showing those live in other management packs. Now, what all of these here are, these are all of the parameter values being passed to this module. These modules, as I mentioned, they don't need any parameters, but these are all of the values that this module requires to run. And so just we'll talk through these a little bit, and again, we'll be getting much more into this when we actually start building these ourselves. But you can see here, of course, there's target variables, which we've seen when we did discovery. This is just the static value we're providing in the rule. Here's a data variable. In other words, the data coming in, I want to use some property from that. And these are just some standard values. So now if I go here, let's have a look at this module, as I showed before in that slide. So if I go to type definitions and module types, and again, I have those already kind of broken out so we can see them. First off, here's the optimized perf provider, and we can see here all of these parameters, the configuration portion of a module. This says all of the parameters that it requires values for. And so all of these here line up with all of these values that are being passed to them. Okay? Now if I go here to the module implementation, we can see, as I showed on that slide, we have a data source module for the raw perf provider, and we have a condition detection, this optimized collection filter. Each of these requires some parameters. Now I'm not going to talk, I'll talk briefly right here about this config variable. We're going to see those a ton when we start building our own. But basically what we're saying is the values that are sent into the parameters for the module, pass these into these modules beneath them. So you see this whole set of parameters it requires. Some were required for the raw perf provider, some were required for the optimized collection filter. But then let's go have a look here at DB size raw perf provider, which is right up here. Sure enough, we see these parameters here align with these values that are being sent to them. And if we look at the implementation, we can see here, let me just roll this up, make it a little bit easier to see. Data source, two condition detections as I mentioned. The data source is this TimeScript property bag provider. This is in the Windows library. I won't go over to the Windows library to show it. You can absolutely do that on your own. These are the parameters that it requires. And of course here actually is the script. This is a VB script. Okay, we're talking PowerShell script as I mentioned in the previous lesson, but this is an older MP. Uses VB script. That's the body of the script being passed into it, which this module provides a parameter to accept that script. Then we see here the perf mapper, which says go and convert this to performance data, and these are the values that we're going to pass in for the object counter instance and value. And then that filter, which I mentioned is for cookdown, which we'll completely go into in a couple of lessons. But this is looking basically at one of the properties, which is the database name coming out of the data. So again, this we're going to get a lot more into this structure, and we're going to build our own modules and all in the next lesson. But I think this hopefully should drive home that discussion about going from the workflow to the modules and then opening up the composite modules. And one great way to learn all of this and to get familiar with the modules that are available to you and the modules that other MPs are using is really exactly what I'm doing right here. Going to the SQL MP, the Exchange MP, the Active Directory MP, and you're going to see a whole lot of very similar looking modules and workflows, but leveraging basically different monitoring scenarios. And so it's a great way to actually learn how to do all this.